am the teacher of athletes. He that by me spreads a wider breast than my own proves the width of my own. He most honors my style who learns under it to destroy the teacher. The boy I love, the same becomes a man, not through derived power, but in his own right. Wicked rather than virtuous out of conformity or fear. Fond of his sweetheart, relishing well his stake. Unrequited love or a slight, cutting him worse than sharp steel cuts. First rate to ride, to fight, to hit the bullseye, to sail a skiff, to sing a song or play on the banjo, preferring scars and the beard and faces pitted with smallpox over all latherers, and those well tanned to those that keep out of the sun. I teach, straying from me, yet who can stray from me? I follow you, whoever you are, from the present hour. My words itch at your ears till you understand them. I do not say these things for a dollar or to fill up the time while I wait for a boat. It is you talking just as much as myself. I act as the tongue of you tied in your mouth. In mine it begins to be loosened. I swear I will never again mention love or death inside a house. And I swear I will never translate myself at all, only to him or her who privately stays with me in the open air. If you would understand me, go to the heights or water shore. The nearest gnat is an explanation, and a drop or motions of waves a key. The maul, the oar, the handsaw second my words. No shuttered room or school can commune with me, but roughs and little children better than they. The young mechanic is closest to me. He knows me well. The woodman that takes his axe and jug with him shall take me with him all day. The farm boy, plowing in the field, feels good at the sound of my voice. In vessels that sail, my words sail. I go with fishermen and seamen and love them. The soldier camped or upon the march is mine. On the night ere the pending battle, many seek me, and I do not fail them. On that solemn night, it may be their last, those that know me seek me. My face rubs to the hunter's face when he lies down alone in his blanket. The driver, thinking of me, does not mind the jolt of his wagon. The young mother and old mother comprehend me. The girl and the wife rest the needle a moment and forget where they are. They and all would resume what I have told them. I have said that the soul is not more than the body. And I have said that the body is not more than the soul. And nothing, not God, is greater to one than oneself is. And whoever walks a furlong without sympathy walks to his own funeral, dressed in his shroud. And I or you, pocketless of a dime, may purchase the pick of the earth. And to glance with an eye or show a bean in its pod confounds the learning of all times. And there is no trade or employment, but the young man following it may become a hero. And there is no object so soft but it makes a hub for the wheeled universe. And I say to any man or woman, let your soul stand cool and composed before a million universes. And I say to mankind, be not curious about God. For I, who am curious about each, am not curious about God. No array of terms can say how much I am at peace about God and about death. I hear and behold God in every object, yet understand God not in the least. Nor do I understand who there can be more wonderful than myself. Why should I wish to see God better than this day? I see something of God each hour of the 24 and each moment then. In the faces of men and women, I see God. And in my own face in the glass, I find letters from God dropped in the street, and everyone is signed by God's name. And I leave them where they are, for I know that wheresoe'er I go, others will punctually come forever and ever. And as to you, death, and you, bitter hug of mortality, it is idle to try to alarm me. To his work without flinching, the accoucheur comes. I see the elder hand pressing, receiving, supporting. I recline by the sills of the exquisite flexible doors and mark the outlet and mark the relief and escape. And as to you, corpse, I think you're good manure, but that does not offend me. I smell the white roses, sweet-scented and growing. I reach to the leafy lips. I reach to the polished breasts of melons. And as to you, life, I reckon you are the leavings of many deaths. No doubt I have died myself 10,000 times before. I hear you whispering there, O stars of heaven, O suns, O grass of graves, O perpetual transfers and promotions. If you do not say anything, how can I say anything? Of the turbid pool that lies in the autumn forest, of the moon that descends the steeps of the soughing twilight, toss sparkles of day and dusk, toss on the black stems that decay in the muck, toss to the moaning gibberish of the dry limbs. I ascend from the moon, I ascend from the night. I perceive that the ghastly glimmer is noonday sunbeams reflected and debouched to the steady and central from the offspring, great or small. There is that in me. I do not know what it is, but I know it is in me. Wrenched and sweaty, calm and cool then my body becomes. I sleep. I sleep long. I do not know it. It is without name, it is a word unsaid, it is not in any dictionary, utterance, symbol. Something it swings on more than the earth I swing on. To it, the creation is the friend whose embracing awakes me. Perhaps I might tell more. Outlines? I plead for my brothers and sisters. Do you see, oh, my brothers and sisters? It is not chaos or death. It is form, union, plan. It is eternal life. It is happiness. The past and present wilt. I have filled them, emptied them, and I proceed to fill my next fold of the future. Listener up there, what have you to confide to me? Look in my face while I snuff the sidle of evening. Talk honestly, no one else hears you, and I stay only a minute longer. Do I contradict myself? Very well, then, I contradict myself. I am large, I contain multitudes. I concentrate toward them that are nigh, I wait on the door slab. Who has done his day's work? Who will soonest be through with his supper? Who wishes to walk with me? Will you speak before I am gone? Will you prove already too late? The spotted hawk swoops by and accuses me. He complains of my gab and my loitering. I, too, am not a bit tamed. I, too, am untranslatable. I sound my barbaric yawp over the roofs of the world. The last scud of day hauls back for me. It flings my likeness after the rest, and true as any on the shadowed wilds, it coaxes me to the vapor and the dusk. I depart as air. I shake my white locks of the runaway sun. I effuse my flesh in eddies and drift it in lacy jags. I bequeath myself to the dirt to grow from the grass I love. If you want me again, look for me under your boot soles. You will hardly know who I am or what I mean, but I shall be good health to you nevertheless and filter and fiber your blood. Failing to fetch me, at first keep encouraged. Missing me one place, search another. I stop somewhere, waiting for you. I sing the body electric. I sing the body electric. The armies of those I love engirth me, and I engirth them. They will not let me off till I go with them, respond to them, and discorrupt them, and charge them full with the charge of the soul. Was it doubted that those who corrupt their own bodies conceal themselves? And if those who defile the living are as bad as they who defile the dead? And if the body does not do fully as much as the soul? And if the body were not the soul? What is the soul? The love of the body of man or woman balks account. The body itself balks account. That of the male is perfect, and that of the female is perfect. The expression of the face balks account. but the expression of a well-made man appears not only in his face, it is in his limbs and joints also. It is curiously in the joints of his hips and wrists. It is in his walk, the carriage of his neck, the flex of his waist and knees. Dress does not hide him. The strong, sweet quality he has strikes through the cotton and broadcloth. To see him pass conveys as much as the best poem, perhaps more. You linger to see his back and the back of his neck and shoulder side. The sprawl and fullness of babes, the bosoms and heads of women, the folds of their dress, their style as we pass in the street, the contour of their shape downwards. The swimmer, naked in the swimming bath, seen as he swims through the transparent green shine, or lies with his face up and rolls silently to and fro in the heave of the water. The bending forward and backward of rowers and rowboats, the horseman in his saddle, girls, mothers, housekeepers, in all their performances, the group of laborers seated at noontime with their open dinner kettles and their wives waiting, the female soothing a child, the farmer's daughter in the garden or cowyard, the young fellow hoeing corn, the sleigh driver driving his six horses through the crowd, the wrestle of wrestlers, two apprentice boys quite grown, lusty, good-natured, native-born, out on the vacant lot at sundown after work, the coats and caps thrown down, the embrace of love and resistance, the upper hold and under hold, the hair rumpled over and blinding the eyes, the march of firemen in their own costumes, the play of masculine muscle through clean-setting trousers and waist straps, the slow return from the fire, the pause when the bell strikes suddenly again, and the listening and the alert, the natural, perfect, varied attitudes, the bent head, the curved neck and the counting. Such like I love. I loosen myself, pass freely, am at the mother's breast with a little child, swim with the swimmers, wrestle with wrestlers, march in line with the firemen, and pause, listen, count. I knew a man, a common farmer, the father of five sons, and in them the fathers of sons, and in them the fathers of sons. This man was of wonderful vigor, calmness, beauty of person. The shape of his head, the pale yellow and white of his hair and beard, the immeasurable meaning of his black eyes, the richness and breadth of his manners. These I used to go and visit him to see. He was wise also. He was 6 feet tall. He was over 80 years old. His sons were massive, clean, bearded, tan-faced, handsome. They and his daughters loved him. All who saw him loved him. They did not love him by allowance. They loved him with personal love. He drank water only. The blood showed like scarlet through the clear brown skin of his face. He was a frequent gunner and fisher. He sailed his boat himself. He had a fine one presented to him by a ship joiner. He had fowling pieces presented to him by men that loved him. When he went with his five sons and many grandsons to hunt or fish, you would pick him out as the most beautiful and vigorous of the gang. You would wish long and long to be with him. You would wish to sit by him in the boat that you and he might touch each other. I have perceived to stop in company with the rest at evening is enough. To be surrounded by beautiful, curious, breathing, laughing flesh is enough. To pass among them or touch anyone, or rest my arm ever so lightly around his or her neck for a moment, do not ask any more delight. I swim in it as in a sea. There is something in staying close to men and women and looking on them and in the contact and odor of them that pleases the soul well. All things please the soul, but these please the soul well. This is the female form. A divine nimbus exhales from it, from head to foot. It attracts with fierce, undeniable attraction. I am drawn by its breath, as if I were no more than a helpless vapor. All falls aside but myself and it. Books, art, religion, time, the visible and solid earth, and what was expected of heaven or feared of hell are now consumed. Mad filaments, ungovernable shoots play out of it, the response likewise ungovernable. Hair, bosom, hips, bend of legs, negligent falling hands, all diffused, mine too diffused. Ebb stung by the flow and flow stung by the ebb, love flesh swelling and deliciously aching, limitless limpid jets of love, hot and enormous, quivering jelly of love, white blow and delirious juice, bridegroom night of love working surely and softly into the prostrate dawn, undulating into the willing and yielding day, lost in the cleave of the clasping and sweet-fleshed day. This the nucleus. After the child is born of woman, man is born of woman. This, the bath of birth. This, the merge of small and large, and the outlet again. Be not ashamed, women. Your privilege encloses the rest and is the exit of the rest. You are the gates of the body, and you are the gates of the soul. The female contains all qualities and tempers them. She is in her place and moves with perfect balance. She is all things duly veiled. She is both passive and active. She is to conceive daughters as well as sons, and sons as well as daughters. As I see my soul reflected in nature, as I see through a mist, one with inexpressible completeness, sanity, beauty, see the bent head and arms folded over the breast, the female I see. The male is not less the soul, nor more. He too is in his place. He too is all qualities. He is action and power. The flush of the known universe is in him. Scorn becomes him well, and appetite and defiance become him well. The wildest, largest passions, bliss that is utmost, sorrow that is utmost, become him well. Pride is for him. The full spread pride of man is calming and excellent to the soul. Knowledge becomes him. He likes it always. He brings everything to the test of himself. Whatever the survey, whatever the sea and the sail, he strikes soundings at last, only here. Where else does he strike soundings except here? The man's body is sacred, and the woman's body is sacred. No matter who it is sacred. Is it the meanest one in the laborer's gang? Is it one of the dull-faced immigrants just landed on the wharf? Each belongs here or anywhere just as much as the well-off, just as much as you. Each has his or her place in the procession. All is a procession. The universe is a procession with measured and perfect motion. Do you know so much yourself that you call the meanest ignorant? Do you suppose you have a right to a good sight and he or she has no right to a sight? Do you think matter has cohered together while it is on the surface, and water runs and vegetation sprouts for you only, and not for him? A man's body at auction. For before the war, I often go to the slave mart and watch the sale. I help the auctioneer. The sloven does not half know his business. Gentlemen, look on this wonder. Whatever the bids of the bidders, they cannot be high enough for it. For it the globe lay preparing quintillions of years without one animal or plant. For it the revolving cycles truly and steadily rolled. In this head, the all-baffling brain. In it and below it, the makings of heroes. Examine these limbs, red, black, or white. They are cunning in tendon and nerve. They shall be stripped that you may see them. Exquisite senses, life-lit eyes, pluck, volition. Flakes of breast muscle, pliant backbone and neck, flesh not flabby, good-sized arms and legs, and wonders within there yet. Within there runs blood. The same old blood, the same red-running blood, there swells and jets a heart, there all passions, desires, reachings, aspirations. Do you think they are not there because they are not expressed in parlors and lecture rooms? This is not only one man. This, the father of those who shall be fathers in their turns. In him, the start of populous states and rich republics. Of him, countless immortal lives with countless embodiments and enjoyments. How do you know who shall come from the offspring of his offspring through the centuries? Who might you find you have come from yourself if you could trace back through the centuries? A woman's body at auction. She, too, is not only herself. She is the teeming mother of mothers. She is the bearer of them that shall grow and be mates to the mothers. Have you ever loved the body of a woman? Have you ever loved the body of a man? Do you not see that these are exactly the same to all, in all nations and times, all over the earth? If anything is sacred, the human body is sacred, and the glory and sweet of a man is the token of manhood untainted. And in man or woman, a clean, strong when other men and women are the likes of the parts of you. I believe the likes of you are to stand or fall with the likes of the soul, and that they are the soul. I believe the likes of you shall stand or fall with my poems, and that they are my poems. Man's, woman's, child's, youth's, wife's, husband's, mother's, father's, young man's, young woman's poems. Head, neck, hair, ears, drop and tympan of the ears, eyes, eye fringes, iris of the eye, eyebrows, and the waking or sleeping of the lids, mouth, tongue, lips, teeth, roof of the mouth, jaws and the jaw hinges, nose, nostrils of the nose and the partition, cheeks, temples, forehead, chin, throat, back of the neck, neck slough, strong shoulders, manly beard, scapula, hind shoulders and the ample side round of the chest, upper arm, armpit, elbow socket, lower arm, arm sinews, arm bones, wrist and wrist joints, hand, palm, knuckles, thumb, forefinger, finger joints, fingernails, broad breast front, curling hair of the breast, breastbone, breast side, ribs, belly, backbone, joints of the backbone, hips, hip sockets, hip strength, inward and outward, round, man balls, man root, strong set of thighs, well carrying the trunk above, leg fibers, knee, knee pan, upper leg, under leg, ankles, instep, football, toes, toe joints, the heel, all attitudes, all the shapeliness, all the belongings of my or your body or of anyone's body, male or female, the lung sponges, the stomach sac, the bowels sweet and clean, the brain in its folds inside the skull frame, sympathies, heart valves, palate valves, sexuality, maternity, womanhood, and all that is a woman, and the man that comes from woman, the womb, the teats, nipples, breast milk, tears, laughter, weeping, love looks, love perturbations and risings, the voice, articulation, language, whispering, shouting aloud, food, drink, pulse, digestion, sweat, sleep, walking, swimming, poise on the hips, leaping, reclining, embracing, arm curving and tightening, the continual changes of the flex of the mouth and around the eyes, the skin, the sunburned shade, freckles, hair, the curious sympathy one feels when feeling with a hand the naked meat of the body, the circling rivers, the breath and breathing it in and out, the beauty of the waist and thence of the hips and thence downward toward the knees, the thin red jellies within you or within me, the bones and the marrow in the bones, the exquisite realization of health. Oh, I say, these are not the parts and poems of the body only, but of the soul. Oh, I say now, these are the soul. One's self I sing. One's self I sing, a simple, separate person, yet utter the word democratic, the word en masse. Of physiology from top to toe I sing, not physiognomy alone nor brain alone as worthy for the muse. I say the form complete is worthier far, the female equally with the male I sing. Of life immense in passion, pulse and power, cheerful for freest action formed under the laws divine, the modern man I sing. I hear America singing. I hear America singing, the varied carols I hear, those of mechanics, each one singing his as it should be blithe and strong, the carpenter singing his as he measures his plank or beam, the mason singing his as he makes ready for work or leaves off work, the boatman singing what belongs to him in his boat, the deckhand singing on the steamboat deck, the shoemaker singing as he sits on his bench, the hatter singing as he stands, the woodcutter's song, the plowboy's on his way in the morning or at noon intermission or at sundown, the delicious singing of the mother or of the young wife at work or of the girl sewing or washing, each singing what belongs to him or her and to none else. The day what belongs to the day. At night, the party of young fellows, robust, friendly, singing with open mouths their strong, melodious songs. Shut not your doors. Shut not your doors to me, proud libraries. For that which was lacking on all your well-filled shelves, yet needed most, I bring. Forth from the war emerging, a book I have made. The words of my book, nothing. The drift of it, everything. A book separate, not linked with the rest, nor felt by the intellect. But you, ye untold latencies, will thrill to every page. Poets to come. Poets to come. Orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for. But you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known, arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. I but advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you. To you. Stranger, if you passing meet me and desire to speak to me, why should you not speak to me? And why should I not speak to you? Out of the rolling ocean, the crowd. Out of the rolling ocean, the crowd, came a drop gently to me, whispering, I love you before long I die. I have traveled a long way merely to look on you, to touch you, for I could not die till I once looked on you, for I feared I might afterward lose you. Now we have met, we have looked, we are safe. Return in peace to the ocean, my love. I, too, am part of that ocean, my love. We are not so much separated. Behold the great rondure, the cohesion of all. How perfect! But as for me, for you, the irresistible sea is to separate us. As for an hour carrying us diverse, yet cannot carry us diverse forever. Be not impatient, a little space. Know you, I salute the air, the ocean, and the land. Every day at sundown for your dear sake, my love. Native moments. Native moments, when you come upon me. Ah, you are here now. Give me now libidinous joys only. Give me the drench of my passions. Give me life, course, and rank. Today I go consort with nature's darlings. Tonight, too. I am for those who believe in loose delights. I share the midnight orgies of young men. I dance with the dancers and drink with the drinkers. The echoes ring with our indecent calls. I pick out some low person for my dearest friend. He shall be lawless, rude, illiterate. He shall be one condemned by others for deeds done. I will play a part no longer. Why should I exile myself from my companions? Oh, you shunned persons, I at least do not shun you. I come forthwith in your midst. I will be your poet. I will be more to you than to any of the rest. Once I passed through a populous city. Once I passed through a populous city, imprinting my brain for future use with its shows, architecture, customs, traditions. Yet now, of all that city, I remember only a woman I casually met there, who detained me for love of me. Day by day and night by night we were together. All else has long been forgotten by me. I remember, I say only, that woman who passionately clung to me. Again we wander, we love, we separate again. Again she holds me by the hand. I must not go. I see her close beside me with silent lips, sad and tremulous.